Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
5 at 5 brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the weight. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
What do you make of reports that Dane Dunning could be headed for Tommy John surgery? Have the White Sox erred by centering their rebuild around pitchers, or is it just bad luck?
Let's start with the second question first, because it didn't surprise me about Dane Dunning. I guess it surprised me that they kind of erred on the side of caution, because now it's, what, basically 2 years from now if he goes under the knife and gets his Tommy John, so that's problematic. But I think this is a really interesting question, and one that we've talked to some national experts about and run by different people. The idea that somehow the White Sox are on the Mets train, which leads you to having these great stud pitchers, but unfortunately, pitching doesn't stay consistent. Guys get hurt, guys leave, and you can go from being a contender to losing people. And the Cubs obviously rebuilt differently. They took advantage of taking the hitting market, everybody going for pitching. But I think also you have to remember that it's probably a cheaper way to do business, to develop your own pitching and to do a good job of that. So I really hope that the White Sox have not erred by centering their rebuild around pitchers. But when you see Kopech get surgery, it gives you great hesitation. When you see now Dane Dunning go down, and again, I don't think Dane Dunning was a locked in rotation member. But what I liked about him is he's a pitcher. He's not one of these overpowering guys. He's a guy that would pitch, and I think that sometimes you try to justify the idea that power arms will go. Guys that throw that fast, it's bound to happen, but guys like Mark Burley, guys like, I'll say, Dane Dunning, because he's not Burley by any stretch, but he's certainly not a guy with overpowering fastball. And you would think that guys like that would be less likely, but the reality of life is that it's kind of an unnatural motion, and guys are going to, repetitive stress issues are going to turn up, and Tommy John has become sort of a commonplace thing, and it's almost like, well, get your Tommy John out of the way, and then you can go on with your career. So that bothers me. It just bothers me, and it's just difficult. The report about Dane Dunning, get the kid fixed. It doesn't mean the end of his career. We've seen plenty of people come back, but it just affects the time frame a little bit. It's just another reminder that there's a reason one of three of these guys are going to make it and the other two are going to run into issues.
Well, he's a top 10 prospect in your system, top 100 overall throughout baseball. So absolutely, that's why it's news. You mentioned Tommy John surgery as sort of commonplace among elite pitchers or guys that are successful now. And you look at the Sox own prospects, you have Kopech and Zach Birdie. Yep. And Dylan Cease, who
Giolito had it before, right?
Lucas Giolito is somebody coming back from that. So it doesn't have to be as dire of a development as it seems right now to Dane Dunning and the White Sox. You hope that the news is good. You hope the prognosis is positive. But yeah, it's a punch in the gut, because this is how you have chosen to go down the path built around pitching. And the Mets did it, and the Mets have paid the price for going that route. At the same time, the Mets got to the World Series that way. So you look at, was that a failed rebuilding effort, the way the Mets structured their process around pitching. I don't know. Not if you get to the World Series. If the White Sox got to the World Series and won a pennant, I think they would say that was a rebuild success. So there are risks along the way. I don't think they have erred, and it's also been somewhat circumstantial. You take advantage of the situations in front of you. So all of a sudden they end up with making deals that give them these pitching prospects. So I think it's way too premature, and it would be an overreaction to say they erred by going this way.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're at a point where you hear, it feels like on a weekly basis, Sox prospect injured. Oh, it's just ho-hum. And when the news came out that Dunning was going into the throwing program, based on everything we all heard, it just seemed like last-ditch effort. This guy was going to have Tommy John surgery. Is it bad luck? Some of it's bad luck. Jake Berger walking around in his backyard, bad luck. Some of the dings you get playing this sport that Luis Robert has dealt with, Eloy Jimenez sitting down a couple weeks here or there, that's bad luck. But those are position players. Theo talked about it countless amount of times. Position players that go to college are much easier to project than some of these pitchers. And pitchers are injuries waiting to happen. So if I was building a team, yeah, I would go the route of position players and look at some recent champions and what they did with pitching to put themselves over the top. For Boston, it was Chris Sale. Why? Because they had all those great prospects. For Houston, they made that over-the-top move by paying Justin Verlander in a deal. For the Cubs, it was a little bit earlier. They went out in free agency. You get John Lester. Then during the year, okay, we're there. We're going to add with Aroldis Chapman. I think they have erred. I would go the other route. I would build with position players and then add the pitching later with all of the assets that you've acquired.
Well, I think it's kind of a misnomer that the White Sox have only built their rebuild around starting pitching. I mean, 3 years in a row now, they've taken a position player in the first round of the draft. They've got Eloy Jimenez. They've got Luis Robert. They've got Yoan Moncada, Blake Rutherford, Mikel Adolfo, Luis Basabe. They've got a stockpile of offensive talents, both at the minor and major league level to varying degrees. I use the word talent, but I just think it's kind of a misconception that they're only, getting pitchers. You need both. As much as we laud the Cubs for and Theo Epstein for what they did and what they accomplished in 2016, the reason they won the World Series in 2016 is because John Lester, Jake Arrieta, and Kyle Hendricks were exceptional, and their bullpen was fantastic as well. So you need both aspects of it, and their defense wasn't too bad either, might I add. So I just think it's kind of a misconception that the White Sox are only stockpiling pitchers. They're accumulating talent at all positions, wherever possible.
They're accumulating things. I'll give them that. They are accumulating supposed assets. It's also called White Sox stink, a.k.a. bad luck. That's what I think is going on here. This really is. It's bad luck. I feel bad for the guy. Honestly, it's almost silly. Like, it's almost like you should almost draft a pitcher or buy a pitcher and then have him have Tommy John surgery. And then, right? I mean, let's just get it over with. Here, have the Tommy John. The rebuild's down the road. Have the Tommy John. Let's just get it out of the way and put you back in there. Even if you don't need it yet, let's just do it and get it over with. So, yeah, I mean, the Cubs plan worked. They won a World Series. The White Sox plan could work. It does. This thing does need some time. Let's wait and see. But it's been a series of bad luck, what I also like to call White Sox stink.
So, next question.
Joe Maddon made clear the Cubs won't pursue unsigned free agent closer Craig Kimbrell despite the team's bullpen issues. Why are the Cubs so dead against the idea, and will they regret it?
Well, let's just hope Joe was talking kind of for him, and he said, and being honest about the fact that when he was asked directly about Craig Kimbrell, he said, we didn't discuss it. They should. They really should. They should really get together and look at what's going on here and connect the dots. As we talked about in the opening segment, it doesn't seem compatible to attach all this urgency to the beginning of the season and have an injury to Pedro Strop, which they sort of laughed off yesterday, and they said he would be back. But it is a hamstring issue that for a guy who has had hamstring issues in the past, and you just don't know what to expect. And your number one closer is already down, and you don't know when he's coming back. We're expecting him to miss the first month. Is that optimistic? Can you count on anything in terms of health and Brandon Morrow? So Craig Kimbrough, for whatever reason, is still out there. Maybe he's asking for too much. Maybe he's priced himself out of the conversation for a lot of teams. But I think the Cubs should get into that conversation and have a real talk with Tom Ricketts and Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer and Joe Maddon and say, look what we're doing here. Look what we can do here. This is a pretty good spring. Everybody's got a chip on their shoulder. They're playing, you know, they're saying the right things. Things are looking promising with starting pitching. There's a vibe that is positive. Let's make sure we don't have any regrets this year. And part of that is doing the right thing and at least exploring the idea of reaching out to Craig Kimbrough and signing a closer that would make you very different.
Kimbrough would make them different, and he would answer a question. But I guess in their minds, when you think about it, they know Morrow's coming back. He's not lost for the year. And they believe that this Pedro Strop injury is a setback. It's not anything that's going to last beyond the first week of the season. So I understand that nothing has changed dramatically with this injury that would make you suddenly rethink what your offseason plan was. And I don't know. I mean, C.J. Edwards ready to step up? It's a scary idea, but maybe he is. It's been a while now, and you thought that he was going to be a pretty good player. So it doesn't surprise me that they're sticking to what philosophically they said they were going to do. The problem is, how long is that guy going to remain on the market? How long will that option be there? But they probably don't want to overreact to what they believe is just a minor setback with Stropy. Nothing to do with Morrow. It's not another setback there. So,
but it's not like the Bears pursuing Le'Veon Bell. And, you know, it's not like that kind of fantasy land conversation. This is a guy that's, you know, tactically, and you can never, like in football, you can never have enough good cornerbacks. Contenders can never have enough bullpen arms.
Right.
I think it's more about years. If Kimbrell is demanding 4 years, I'm with the Cubs here. I wouldn't give him those years either. And look at their history. They don't have a problem with signing closers, relief pitchers in their 30s, Kimbrough going into age number 31 season. Look at what they've done in the past with Morrow and Wade Davis. But those are short-term commitments. They don't want to go long-term. And I know you're worried about the injuries they're dealing with right now. Strope is saying he's going to be ready for opening day. All of a sudden, you look at the bullpen and the number of guys that you trust, when healthy, Morrow, Strope. Brock looked like the old Brock at the second half of last year when he was in Atlanta. Cishek, Montgomery. And now the guys you were depending on so much more a season ago, Edwards and Kinsler, are your sixth, seventh options in that bullpen. They've really built it with some depth, and they think even if Morrow isn't healthy, one or two of these guys will really step up, and they're going to be just fine.
You think this is a bullpen of a World Series championship team?
No.
Well, does it have to be on opening day? No. If they want to add, they'll add before July 31st if they're in that position.
I think it's also hard to read bullpens. I think that bullpens don't carry over from one year to the next. Guys go up, guys go down. I think it's a real difficult thing to try to figure out.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But one constant in terms of relievers has been Craig Kimbrell over the past, six, 7 years. He's been one of the best relievers in all of baseball pretty consistently. He took a minor step back last season. I think that would be fair to say, but I think if you're the Cubs and you're still in this championship window and you are certainly worried about Brandon Morrow, I mean, hell, the guy threw, 30 innings last year? You can't count on him for anything long-term. Pedro Strop has been great. David, I know you said yesterday he's been one of the best relievers that they've had ever. I completely agree with that. When you look at the year-in, year-out production and the kind of swingman value he's had in the back of the bullpen, I totally agree. But another injury for him as he gets older, I mean, the fact that Craig Kimbrell's just been sitting out there for so long.
Would you give him 4 years, big money?
Absolutely, yes. Okay. Right now, today, tomorrow, yesterday, I would absolutely sign him up for 4 years. Why are they so dead set against the idea? They've maintained this, that there's no more money left in the baseball budget. I guess they can't allocate any funds. I guess that one World Series was just fine and dandy for Tom Ricketts because he doesn't seem to be interested in another one.
Wow.
Really? I mean, what? that this is not what Theo does. Theo doesn't buy relief pitchers. That's not what he does. He'll trade for them, but he doesn't pay full freight. Okay, this is like kind of like free agency, right? Like the idea of that we're learning here. Like, okay, the first day of free agency, some teams, you know, dive in head first, back up the Brinks truck, however you want to describe it. Other teams don't. The Cubs with Theo Epstein do not do this with closers, so they're not going to start doing it today. And to Joe O's point, they don't have to have a World Series caliber bullpen on opening day. But to Kevin's point, if they are really a team that has visions of playing for a pennant, this bullpen, even with Morrow healthy and Strope healthy, is still not good enough right now. Now, come May or June, they might show me that they are. But right now, the optics are that they're not good enough and that they need an upgrade. Now, do they need that big of an upgrade, a Craig Kimbrel upgrade? Couldn't hurt, but I don't know that that also guarantees you a shot at playing for the National League pennant.
Closers in Major League Baseball are like running backs in the NFL. You just don't know if every team is committed to paying that position.
Right, good analogy.
You know, that's a good question.
Which young quarterback was gifted with the better weapon, Cleveland's Baker Mayfield with the Odell Beckham Jr. trade, or the Jets' Sam Darnold with Le'Veon Bell?
Well, I think the answer is not in the question. It's Mitchell Trubisky with Cordarrelle Patterson.
Okay.
Yeah, never mind. All right. I think this is really interesting.
You covering the Bears for a newspaper in town? Or
yeah.
What?
Oh, boy. No, my days as a Sun-Timesman are over. If that's what you're driving at.
I'm just wondering. Very positive outlook. Very Mitch-centric look at this.
You want to call someone a homer, don't include me. Okay?
Put those pom-poms down.
Boy, now anyone who worked there, is that it? So now Biggs is affected by it too?
Hey, I didn't say that. I didn't say
what
that.
What you imply.
I wouldn't want to answer my phone at the break.
Oh, my God. I think this is a really fun question.
Mr.
Because
David.
I think it comes down to one thing, is what's better for a young quarterback, a weapon or a running back, a different type of weapon, a bailout type weapon, and also a guy you can turn around and hand the ball to. Not a guy you got to look down the field for. And I'm going to go with Le'Veon Bell. I think that Le'Veon Bell, given all the things that he can do, is a significantly better weapon for a quarterback than even a guy as good as Odell, a guy that can take the top off, a guy that can make a one-handed catch, a guy that can come back to the huddle and demand the ball if you don't throw it to him on a particular play. I think it's a really interesting dynamic. And I think that Bell for Sam Darnold, even though it's not the weapon that you throw the ball to all the time, he is a bailout weapon in the passing game, and the running game takes a lot of pressure off the quarterback, and it allows the quarterback to develop easier. He's also real good at picking up the blitz. He can pretty much do anything you want. I get why people would think it's the wide receiver, but in this case, I'm going to say it's the running back.
I just think there's too many ifs associated with Le'Veon Bell. I don't know how good the Jets are. I don't know how good they will be. And you have to have a well-rounded football team for a guy who's getting what he's getting at that position to make the kind of impact to make your quarterback better. Le'Veon Bell, if he stays healthy, if he stays eligible, if they get him the ball, if they have a balanced offense, if. And there's too many unknowns for me to say it would be Le'Veon Bell helping Sam Darnold more than I think Odell Beckham Jr. is going to help Baker Mayfield. I think that's a very good football team. The roster's complete. I also think we're looking at Odell Beckham Jr. and we're lumping him in this category of wide receiver diva, and I've been guilty of doing that. I don't know. Maybe I'm overreacting to some of the fallout or some of the responses to him leaving New York. And, you know, I think Kim Jones from NFL Network told a really touching story about him reaching out to her after her illness and when she came back to work, which was really, you know, telling of the kind of personality that he may have and we may not always understand. I think he goes to Cleveland motivated. I think he goes to a young team with a dynamic quarterback, and they hit it off. They seem to have a rapport and a dynamic already. That's a pretty complete football team, and I could see that Odell Beckham Jr. making Baker Mayfield a better quarterback than Bell makes Darnold.
Sing it, Wani. The answer is Le'Veon Bell. As far as the better weapon, So the Jets also gave Sam Darnold Jamison Crowder, so he's got a slot receiver, a little bit of help there. Robbie Anderson, when he was healthy, he was all right with Darnold last season, but when defenses are preparing for the Jets, it's talk about Le'Veon Bell, Le'Veon Bell, Le'Veon Bell, because you look around and what else do they have? There's a weapon, Quincy Enunwa. I mean, come on. It's all going to be about Le'Veon Bell, and I hope it's not like the Bills over the past few years when it's all LeSean McCoy and so much is put on him. But this is going to help Sam Darnold a lot. Now, the addition of OBJ to Cleveland, Baker certainly has a lot more talent around him, but just the better single weapon is Bell.
It's a really good question. I kind of went back and forth on it, but I'm going to go with Beckham. I mean, looking at what he's done with the ghost of Eli Manning in New York for the past several seasons, I mean, the numbers that he's put up are just unbelievable. What, 5,400 yards, 44 touchdowns receiving just in over 5 years, and he has missed a little bit of time, too. It's not like he's played five full seasons in that span, so really close here. Obviously, Le'Veon Bell is a huge game changer for Darnold and the Jets. But I think Beckham is one of these elite guys. Not saying Bell's not, but in terms of a weapon and, you know, passing the ball, like I guess Freddie Kitchens is going to want to do, huck the ball 50 times a game. I think it's Beckham here.
Yeah, you know, Beckham's a better player at his position, I think, overall. I mean, I think the wide receiver is more important to the quarterback than the running back is. I mean, sure, you hand the ball off to the running back or he's your safety valve, but it's more like, I can't get the ball downfield, so I'm going to dump it off to the running back. They're afraid I'm going to turn the ball over when I put the ball in the air, so I'm going to hand it off to the running back. I just think Odell Beckham's going to make this team overall better. He's going to make all the weapons better. He's going to elevate everybody on the team, whereas the Jets just still don't have the pieces. So I'd have to go with Beckham here.
I have a few things I need to get through before I open it up to your questions.
According to the NFL Network, the Bears hosted former Redskins and Packers safety, Clinton Dix. Clinton Dix and Eddie Jackson played together for one season at Alabama. Is Clinton Dix a better option than former Chief Eric Berry, who was cut on Wednesday?
Well, Eric Berry is a tremendous leader and a guy you'd love to have in the locker room. Also, you'd like to have him on the field, and unfortunately, that's not where he's been often enough the last two seasons, where he's played only three games. I like the idea of Clinton Dix in a Bears uniform. I like the fact that they're hosting him on Wednesday. He's going to perhaps, if they offer a contract, he got there Wednesday and he's also going to be there today. He has to choose between perhaps playing with Eddie Jackson, his former Alabama teammate, or choosing to play with his former Alabama teammate, Landon Collins. Redskins versus Bears, elite defense versus a pretty good defense. I think there's a lot to like about Clinton Dix. This is a guy that has been too inconsistent over the last maybe season and a half. He talked his way out of Green Bay and also played his way out of Green Bay. They traded him. He also started the week that after they traded him. He has been very durable. He's a guy that's going to play 16 games in this Bears defense. When you're surrounded by two other Pro Bowl players in the secondary, the strong safety position, the other safety position, is a role player in many ways. He's like the power forward who plays defense. He's like your fifth starter in baseball. He's like your fourth line center. You don't have to ask him to do too much. He can be very good and solid. He doesn't have to be spectacular. So I do think this could be a potential upgrade even from Adrian Amos. If you're not asking him to do too much, he might have something to prove. So if they can work it out with Clinton Dix, I think this is a good move for the Bears.
Yeah, the greatest ability in the NFL is availability, and that's what you get with Clinton Dix, and that's what's been lacking from Eric Berry. Eric Berry's a great player, and if you could tell me that he's going to play a full season, I'd do a lot to sign him, and it also would be a shorter term deal. I like Clinton Dix. I liked him coming out of college. I thought he was a solid player for the Packers, and he's there to line up every day, and I think he'd do very well in this particular defense. So I think it'd be a great addition to the Bears, and I would definitely go with the guy that you feel is going to be available to you, and that's Clinton Dix.
Yeah, you guys nailed it. Health has to be a factor here. Now, if you're telling me they're both on the field, sign me up for Barry every single time. Look at what that Chiefs defense has not done when he hasn't been on the field, especially that secondary, just awful. But last 4 years, Clinton Dix has not missed a game. You know the guy's going to be on the field for you, so Clinton Dix is the better option.
Yes, allow me to answer this question in the form of drop.
Why do I think we're going to be hearing that a few times
today?
Let
me ask you something. Why does
imagine if they sign him?
Why does he ever talk if he could just do that?
We lost the Bellamy the other day, so.
Who got fired?
Availability is definitely the thing here. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You got to have guys that are able to suit up, you know, shirts in, jocks tight, socks tall, shirts in, jocks tight, socks tall. That's what it's all about. I mean, I mean, remember when we all wanted Clinton Dix ahead of, right? Who was he? We, as fans, wanted Clinton Dix instead of Kyle Fuller, right? Wasn't that the...
I think that was 2014.
Well, that was our draft, the right? One, I mean,
yeah.
That,
yeah. So it looked like the right choice for a couple of years there.
Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see that. I also do think it would rejuvenate the guy a little bit if he was playing with his former Alabama safety mate. Okay, they played together for a year down there under Nick Saban. So, yeah, listen, go get the guy. Fantastic.
Thank you for the question.
This segment brought to you by Gerber Collision and Glass. When do you get it to Gerber? When you back into someone who is backing out. That's when you get it to Gerber. Locations throughout Chicagoland. Visit GerberCollision.com or call 8777-GERBER to find your nearest Gerber location. After another impressive victory on the road over the Leafs, should we take the Blackhawks' playoff chances seriously yet?
Da 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 da. Can I answer with a song?
You want to sing too?
Yeah. Look, I think that the Blackhawks have unbelievable firepower, and thank you. Here come the Hawks. I just think that they've left a ton of work to do. They got 12 games left, and 10 of them are against fairly decent teams. Is that the way I read that?
12 left.
Yeah. So I can't put a pin in them. I mean, they've won 4 in a row and they've won some big games, so I'm not going to burst that balloon, but I think it's unlikely. Mm-hmm. I think it's when you are trailing in a trail position, when you're using trail technique, you can often be burned for many reasons. So I'm going with no on the playoffs, but I'd love to see it happen, and I'd love to see him have momentum going into the playoffs. But I just have to say, just honestly, you know, there is this element here where when you are the pursuer as opposed to the pursued, you when you get ahead of a team, you have this sense of like, oh, relief, and then that can really bite you, and that seemed to happen once already. So I just don't think the defense is good enough, sadly.
You want to say no. You want to say there's no way that this can happen because of their schedule. They have to go into Montreal. They have to host the Flyers next week. They have an opportunity to help themselves in the next 6 games. They play the Avalanche twice and the Coyotes once. They have an opportunity, and you want to say no. And yet, the Hawks aren't the Hawks that we saw the first 35 games of the year. They played 70 games in the first 35. They were 10-19-6. In the last 35, they're 21-11-3. That's pretty good. That's playoff caliber. On December 8th, this was a team that had lost 6 straight. They were the worst team in the NHL. They had a goal differential of minus 30. Look at them now. They're beating Toronto at Toronto. They have a long way to go. 12 games left, 4 points separating them in the final wild card spot. I think it depends on Corey Crawford. If he comes back, and what happened to him last night was really just an illness, and it wasn't something that we don't know about in the mysterious hockey lingo and jargon, an upper body injury that we don't want to know more to, and there is more to it, then if Corey Crawford's okay, they've got a shot because they're scoring goals in droves. Their defense is hanging on, but I wouldn't want to definitely say no, but I'm not bold enough to predict that they're going to go to the playoffs either. This is fun to watch.
Yeah, winners 15 of their last 21 games, but they still have to jump 3 more teams. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm taking them seriously now that it's down to 4 points. And looking at the remaining schedule, sure, you're worried about some of the teams that they're going to play. But the other side is, look at the other teams. What is their position? Are they locked into a playoff spot? Because when it comes down to the last couple of weeks, they're going to start to sit some of their goaltenders
right,
and some
point.
Of their starters. So maybe the door will be open for the Blackhawks to get in.
I don't know. I think the schedule is a little bit too tough. Just looking at the run in here, Montreal, Philadelphia, Colorado, Arizona, San Jose, Winnipeg, St. Louis, Dallas, Nashville, all better than the Blackhawks at this point in time. And with the mystery looming over Crawford, like we've been so accustomed to over the past couple of years now, it does seem like a bridge too far.
I've been dragged into this a couple of times in the last couple of weeks, and I'm all for getting dragged in. Unfortunately, each time I was dragged in, I was left to feel disappointed. So I'm right on the cusp again. Go ahead and beat Montreal. Let's do that. And if you beat Montreal, then I'm diving right back in head first. So is there a shot? Of course there's a shot. Am I going to get fully invested? Listen, my TV time right at this exact moment are college basketball tournaments and Cubs White Sox tomorrow. That's where my full TV sports watching is on.
So if you had to choose between watching the Hawks, a college basketball tournament, and spring training baseball, the Hawks would be third?
Yes. Right now, yes. Yes. I said beat Montreal.
I know,
beat
know
Montreal
who you are.
And get back in because I invested a ton of time 2 weeks ago, and then all of a sudden Patrick Kane decided not to show up after the wonderful season he's had.
Dustin, watch that game tomorrow closely because you may see someone playing hooky in the stands.
You going to have a sign?
I'm not saying it's me, but it is me. I'm going to that game.
Cub Sox.
I went out to Arizona to see that game, leaving very early.
What you just did, Arizona?
Are you going to do an inning? Are we carrying that game here on the
day
score?
Of vacation.
Are you going to do an inning?
We are carrying it.
Are you going to do an inning, Molly?
I would imagine not, Dustin. I think they prefer professionals.
Hit the booth.
I'd love to hear you.
I'm not Boomer. Hitting the booze. I'm with my son.
No, the booth. The booth.
I know. I was making a joke. But yeah.
And I think you could enjoy one beer in like 80-degree weather. Like that would be a dream right now. Like one cold beer. I don't need six. I don't even need two.
I think the dream
one
is the 80-degree weather.
In 80-degree weather. That would be really nice
it's
right
nice
now.
It's nice out today. What are you guys talking
listen,
about?
Listen, I will
beautiful
have,
outside.
I will
yeah.
have a beer.
The snow's melting.
You, I will stand outside and drink a beer today at some point.
I
that
just
I can
want to see.
I think it's against the law.
Mully.
It is.
And Coom and Pat Hughes.
When did that stop anybody at the score?
In a mariachi band.
No magician this time, though. Or Connor.
How about a pen?
Oh, that'd be...
God help us all.
That'd be a fun trip.
Yeah, we're not really going to get much into that.
All righty. That is the 5 at 5. 312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. It's Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.